Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Loom, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors lost Game 2 by a score of 94-89 to the Philadelphia 76ers. This was a frustrating game, and it was a really frustrating game. The Raptors fought an uphill battle basically all night. I mean, it was ugly. Neither team could really get their offense going. I don't think the Raptors ever had more than three straight possessions where they scored, which is really, really tough to do. And, you know, it was just one of those games where, again, like the Raptors, you know, they had a chance at the end. I don't want to sound like Dwayne Casey and say it's a make or miss league dug, but like Danny Green off a broken play, wide open from three. And Danny Green shot like, what, 45, 46% from three in the regular season. You know, I was on the podcast talking about how he was the most reliable three-point shooter, most automatic three-point shooter in Raptors history. Didn't look like it tonight. And Danny, you know, he's yet to really have a good, strong stretch in the playoffs so far. I mean, he's been okay. But, you know, today he was just bad. 1 of 6 in that wide open three off a broken set where Kyler tried to nutmeg Tobias Harris trying to create a shot. I don't know. It wasn't great. The Raptors were down three. It looked like they were maybe going to try to set up something like to go for a quick two because they had 24 seconds left. Who knows? But it wasn't immediately clear what was going on because I think Danny Green was about to run a pick and roll with Marcus Saul before Kyle took over. And then he tried to take Tobias one-on-one, try to go between his legs. Tobias just was like, what are you doing? And there's a loose ball. And then eventually, you know, it found Danny wide open and he missed it. And that was just kind of how the whole night went for the Raptors. It was just nothing was going on. The Raptors shot 36% from the field. That's 33 for 91. And 10 of 37 from deep. And, you know, honestly, the Sixers didn't do much better. Like, they shot 39% from the field and 29% from deep. But, like, it was just, you know, so many open looks that the Raptors missed. I mean, you know, down the stretch, they're actually making a couple. Pascal finally got one to drop, and then Kyle hit two threes. But, like, just throughout the game, so many open looks, and they just... And it came back to bite them. But honestly, like, the Raptors fought an uphill battle all night, and that's where you got to give a lot of credit to Sixers coach Brett Brown for making great adjustments. You know, after game one, it was clear that his team couldn't really win playing the same style that they always want to. And so, you know, he shuffled it up, and it was pretty major in terms of just adjustments. I mean, he put, first off, Tobias Harris on Marc Gasol, right? Very curious decision, right? But, you know, he also had Embiid, then guard, you know, Pascal Siakam, which, again, also a very unorthodox decision. And then he had Ben Simmons guard Kawhi Leonard. Now, I would say all three worked to varying degrees. First off, Ben made Kawhi work a lot harder than a guy like Butler did. It just didn't seem like Butler was all that engaged. And it kind of sapped Butler's energy anyway, offensively. I think on both fronts, you know, Butler was a lot better today. I'll talk about him in a sec. But... you know, at least Kawhi was able to score through the extra attention. Now, not only did they put Ben Simmons on Kawhi, but, you know, Brett Brown also made the decision, as, you know, Joel Embiid kind of suggested after game one, where he said, we got to come up with a better game plan and double Kawhi. But yeah, the Sixers were showing a lot more doubles to Kawhi, and Kawhi made all night he was making the right passes to guys, and it was swinging for open threes, and the Raptors just couldn't hit them. And even late in the game, you know, Kawhi ends up drawing extra attention. He finds Pascal for three. He hits it finally, and same thing for Kyle. And it was nice to see that process because Kawhi did have 7 assists tonight, and, you know, he was making the right decisions. But also, like, Kawhi is also so good that he's still going to score. And today, I mean, he was phenomenal. He still had 35 points on 13-24 shooting. And this is despite the fact he's getting a double and despite the fact that, you know, Ben Simmons played great defense on Kawhi. It was just, it just wasn't going, and it was really confounding. But the other adjustments worked really well, in the sense that Gasol going against Harris, and he, you know, he has like, what, 60, 70 pounds on Harris. Shot 1-6 from the field, 1-4 from deep. You know, still made his usual impact plays, still played good defense on, great defense on Joel Embiid, except for the last possession, which is nothing you can really do. Embiid just made a very special drive to the rim. You know, Mark did all the other stuff, but he couldn't score. He couldn't score. His only basket of the game was, you know, about 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, or third quarter there. Boban was on the floor, and Gasol got a three to drop, but otherwise he couldn't really punish them too much. And also it was Pascal. Like, Pascal just wasn't really able to be effective. I mean, he went from being ultra efficient in game one, 12 of 15 to 9 of 25 today. And he just really struggled with Embiid's length. And again, all this really just, you know, ties back to the Raptors fighting this uphill battle, because really the Sixers jump over the Raptors because the Raptors just offensively they look confused. Like, they didn't really anticipate what was going on. I don't think Nick Nurse really gave them pretty clear instructions, at least in the early timeouts, of like, hey, this is what we should attack, this and this and this. It just looked like the Raptors out of sorts. Like, Kawhi wasn't really touching the ball much early, and then Pascal was, you know, he had a great move early on where he just scored over Embiid, and I was like, oh my God, is he just going to dominate Embiid as well? No, it turned out it didn't really happen, because the rest of the game, Pascal was driving at Embiid, wasn't getting foul calls, you know, was just kind of throwing up shots, and it wasn't really working. And also, the more discouraging part was, you know, Pascal started losing his confidence. And for most of the second and third quarters there, you didn't even notice, like, Pascal. There's a couple times where, you know, there's one play where he pushed the pace in transition. I think got to the rim, and that was a nice play. But I mean, like, for the most part, he really struggled against Embiid, and it was kind of hard to watch. And you know, the Raptors just couldn't run their usual offense. Like, it was very lethargic. I mean, even with the brick threes and things like that, it was just lethargic all throughout. And in the second half, I think after halftime, you know, I think Nick Nurse did make some good adjustments to counter some of the things that the Sixers did, which is what you want to see from a coach, right? You do want to see in-game adjustments. Like, Nick Nurse took a lot of heat today, but, you know, I think he did make some good adjustments, because if you look at it, Raptors only had 38 points in the first half combined, and 25 points in the third quarter, 26 points in the fourth quarter. Some of that is threes dropping, but some of that is also just the Raptors had a better game plan for attacking. Like, for example, they got Gasol the ball in the post, and whether or not, you know, while he wasn't scoring out of there, he wasn't really shooting out of there, but he was able to create open looks for other players when they were, you know, cutting. Like, there was one play where Kawhi cut to the basket while Gasol was really deep in the paint. All the attention was on Gasol. Kawhi slips free and he gets a dunk. You know, just there are ways to use Mark in the post against Tobias Harris. I don't ultimately think that Mark can actually score very well against Harris, or just score well, very well in the paint anyway. It's weird because, like, first off, there's a misnomer that Gasol is a dominant low post scorer. He's never really been that. He's always been a little bit more perimeter oriented. But I find, especially when he's around the basket, like, first off, he just always insists on taking, like, little short jumpers instead of doing the hook shot. Like, you compare it to how JV will, if he did shoot a jumper, it was basically, you know, pick and pop, or was that like little short baseline fadeaway, where, you know, he spins over the right shoulder and he gets a little short jumper to fall. That's fine. And, you know, Gasol does that shot too. But, like, Gasol just really loves taking the little short jumpers instead of taking the hook shot. Like, the reason why JV was so effective around the basket was because he would go to that hook shot, and it was super, super, he had great touch on it, right? But, you know, just Gasol always likes to shoot for the little jumper instead. Even when he's, like, within, like, 3-5 feet of the basket, he's still shooting the jumper, which is weird. But yeah, ultimately, I mean, we've seen all season, right? Because I don't think Gasol is really, as a low post guy, is not really going to be able to punish Harris sort of just, you know, point blank. But there are other ways, you know, you can put him deep in the post, have him draw some doubles and you know, play out of that. But I think, you know, the Raptors, again, like, they made decent adjustments. I think the adjustment with Pascal was sort of playing him more into space. So the way Embiid was sort of playing him was kind of, he was shutting him off in the paint, but also he wasn't coming out of the paint because he was still providing help at the rim. And he was just kind of content to let Pascal shoot. And especially when Pascal wasn't hitting, you know, it was a very effective strategy. Pascal started passing him some shots. But, you know, there are ways to counter that. Like, you know, the Sixers do a great job with that, for example, with a guy like Ben Simmons, who, again, obviously teams don't, you know, defend him too much. They could go under on screens or shit. But, like, you know, the way they counter that is, you know, they have guys like J.J. Redick sort of play and come around screens with Simmons. And if the guy is sagging so much off Simmons that there's all of a sudden a screen with Redick, then it's a 2-on-1 situation where someone's trying to climb over the screen to take away Redick's three. And, you know, and there's no help there. So I think the Raptors can kind of do a similar thing. The Raptors' adjustment wasn't as clear as that. Like, for example, like they kind of got Kyle into pick and roll action more with Pascal. And Pascal got some open looks or some decent room to attack. I think that's one way. But I think the other way would just be, like, why not have Pascal screen for Kawhi Leonard? Because Kawhi is a threat to pull up from three. If Pascal can set a good screen and Embiid's in the paint, then all of a sudden Kawhi has an open three. And even if that's not there, you know, like, you can at least have your two most, you know, potent offensive players sort of play together and create shots. But, you know, the Raptors as a whole, I just think that, you know, first half they were flustered. And second half, you know, they made a comeback. And yeah, like, you know, they really brought it really close twice, actually. They made two comebacks, really, because Raptors down 13.5, you know, the starters came in. They put in a really strong shift. It was like a 17-4 run. And I think the Raptors were only down one after Marc Gasol hit a pair of free throws. But then all of a sudden the bench came in, and then they just, over the course of the next 5 minutes, they just completely shat the bed, and all of a sudden the Sixers are back up 11, and then the Raptors starters come back in, and, you know, they're making a great push. Kawhi's hitting some ridiculous shots off drives. I mean, very contested, multiple bodies. He's just going through contact and finishing and getting free throws. The Raptors finally hit a couple of threes, and, you know, again, they got another chance, But that's where you got to credit a guy like Jimmy Butler, who, you know, Butler was weird in game one, like really, really weird. I think he only had like 10 points. He shot 4-12 from the field, wasn't very engaged, and kind of was getting roasted on defense because he was guarding Kawhi. Maybe the guarding Kawhi thing was taking a lot of energy out of him, so that's why the Sixers sort of switched it up and they put Butler on Larry, which is a lot more, much, it's just a lot easier of an assignment, let's be real. But Butler really went off, man. I mean, you know, he was hitting some big threes down the stretch. He off the mid-range jumpers there. I mean, he's their closer, and he's always going to be the guy that's going to be getting shots. Like, occasionally Embiid will get a couple, but ultimately Embiid versus Gasol, I mean, it's not the easiest matchup for Embiid to score. So it's a lot, you know, a lot is on Butler's shoulders to create, and he was great down the stretch. Now, he did get two free throws where Gasol sort of slapped at the ball, got all ball, but Butler threw his arms up in the air, and it was two free throws. Okay, that's annoying. But Butler, I mean, he was just phenomenal otherwise. I mean, 30 points tonight, 9 of 22 shooting, 4 of 10 from 3, 8 of 8 from the free throw line. Brett Brown said in the post game that it was James Butler tonight, as in he was the adult in the room, which is kind of funny to for him to switch up his name like that. But yeah, it felt that way. It really did, because again, the Raptors were making a hard push. They were about to take this game. It was sort of a make or break moment for the Sixers, and Jimmy Butler bailed them out. And so you gotta give him a lot of credit. I think the way the Raptors are guarding Butler, I think for the most part, is okay. Like, Butler today made a lot of tough shots. Like, the fact that, you know, he took 10 threes at all is reflective of how aggressive he is, because normally he's not really a guy that gets the three a lot. And him hitting four is, you know, whatever. I mean, he's capable. He can do that. But I think for the most part, the Raptors' defense against him is okay. Like, they're putting length against him for the most part with Pascal. Occasionally they'll put Danny Green, which is about like size. But, you know, they're sort of trying to get him off the three-point line. And then they're giving him a little bit of that mid-range air where, you know, Butler is really good. But for the most part, you know, they're sort of chasing from behind. And it's really just occasionally a couple times Butler will get free and get to the rim. And that's where he really hurts you, because, you know, he's really big. He's really strong. When he gets to the rim, he's crafty. Like, he got 8 free throws. And I think that really hurt the Raptors more than anything else. You know, more than anything with Butler, because you just can't give him those free throws. Like, he's really effective when he can get to the line. But yeah, I mean, it's also just a change in mentality, right? Like, first off, in game one, there was a lot of offense going through Tobias Harris. Today, only 3 of 11. He just wasn't nearly as effective. But, you know, part of that was also just because Butler took a bigger cut of the offense. And I think if I were the Sixers, I would really, really try to go through Butler a lot more, because he is pretty much their best creator on the wing, and the Raptors aren't stashing their best defender on him, right? Like, it would be one thing if Kawhi was guarding Butler, and then, like, okay, maybe don't go through Butler, but yeah, who knows? And maybe that's one adjustment for Nick Nurse to make. Maybe he needs to put Kawhi on Butler, because even down the stretch there, I mean, you know, Ben Simmons can do some things, but it was very clear that Ben Simmons was just a setup man towards the end, and that Butler was going to get the offense, so why not have Kawhi on Butler? I'm not entirely sure, but But yeah, you guys got to tip your hat to Jimmy Butler. He made, or James Butler, I guess. You know, he made some huge plays, but I don't know. A lot of it also just comes down to the bench. Like, the bench has been so bad for the Raptors. Like, every single game, you see guys like Fred VanVleet have a minus 18 in the box score. Norman Powell, minus 17. Serge Ibaka, minus 12. I mean, like, first off, the Raptors got 5 total points off the bench. 5 entire total points from the bench. Serge Ibaka making $20 million. Fred VanVleet making about $9 million. Norman Powell making $10 million. Jody Meeks, well, I mean, I don't even blame Jody Meeks, to be honest. He shouldn't be in the game at all. That's on Nick Nurse. But those three guys making a combined 40 plus million gave you 5 total points. Meanwhile, you look on the Sixers bench, all right? Most of these guys are minimum players, you know, just on rookie contracts or just veteran minimums. Greg Monroe, we all know Greg Monroe here in Toronto, 10 points in 11 minutes. Wow. Just wow. James Ennis, who, you know, was completely useless with the Rockets, and the Rockets this year really, really needed depth. Like, they didn't have any depth for most of the year, and they still cut Ennis. Ennis, 13 points, 4 of 10. He's been great in both games 1 and 2. And, you know, whatever. Bolden came in and gave him 3 points, but, you know, mostly for the most part just bought some time. I mean, like, man, you can't get outscored 26-5 off the bench. Like, it's just so much. There's only so much the starters can do, right? Like, I think Kyle stepped up his offense today, and it was kind of encouraging that he was able to generate some offense. It's kind of ugly when Kyle generates offense, but it's fine, whatever. You know, Pascal still got to 21 despite having a tough night. Kawhi obviously was incredible with 35, but you just can't survive only 5 points off the bench, you know? And these guys are more talented. They're more capable than this, but it's just not working. And for the life of me, I can't really figure it out. If I'm Nick Nurse, you know, there's one thing, okay, you can get on Nick for, like, okay, maybe not putting all four bench guys together at once. Like, he did that towards the end of the third quarter, and it just kind of stopped the Raptors running its tracks. Like, first off, throwing Jody Meeks in the game was just ridiculous. Like, Jody had I don't even blame Jody because he didn't even play in the first half, so I don't think he was expecting to play in the second half. But when he did come in, he missed a wide-open corner three, which is basically the only thing he does. And then he missed on a box out where Ennis got around him and got fouled and got to the free throw line. And then, you know, Meeks had Fred VanVleet wide open in the corner. He just needed to swing the ball, but instead he tried to make a little drive and then he turned it over. Like, you know, it was disastrous. 1 minute, 30 seconds for Meeks, who was a minus 4. You know, again, you look in this game, the narrow margin that it sort of ended up being, like, in a one possession game, a minus 4 over a minute 30 becomes really costly. But also, you know, I don't want to blame Meeks too much because really it's on the rest of the guys. It's on Ibaka, it's on VanVleet, it's on Powell. Those guys have all been terrible throughout the playoffs. Just terrible. They've had some moments. Like, Powell had some nice moments against the Magic, and then VanVleet had that 110 assist game. But, like, for the most part, man, like, these guys just got to do a lot better. Like, they just have to look in the mirror. They have to be a lot better. Like, Serge, for example. What the hell are you doing leaving your feet twice on Joel Embiid's pump fix? Like, what are you doing? You know the box, you know the game plan there. You know, first off, you know that you can't even hold Embiid in the post. So why the hell are you jumping when he pretends to take a jumper? Like, just let him shoot. Just let him shoot the jumper. He's not a good shooter from out there, even when healthy. He's definitely not healthy right now. Let him shoot, right? Serge gave Embiid a couple of free opportunities on the free throw line. Embiid shot 8 free throws. That has to be lower going forward. It just has to be. And it just speaks to discipline. Like, Serge just has that better, you know, decision making. But also, speaking of decision making, like, there's one play where there's like a 3-on-1 fast break. Think like Fred, you know, Pascal, and Serge. And for some reason, Serge floats to the 3-point line instead of filling the lane, and he ends up getting in Pascal's way. And then not only did it float to the 3-point line, but he also stepped out of bounds, so it became a turnover. And it's like, what are you doing? You're a center. You got to fill the lane in that situation. You're not fading to the 3-point line, man. So it's been real frustrating for Serge. I mean, like, you know, he can't hold up, Embiid whatsoever. Maybe the Raptors need to consider sort of shuffling the minutes. You know, I think game one, it was okay not to shuffle the minutes because the starters were rolling so well, and, you know, it made sense to sort of keep them together and sort of press your advantage. But starters weren't rolling well tonight, and yeah, you just kind of have to, you know. It's unfortunate. You don't want to necessarily always adjust to the opponent, but when the alternative is having Embiid post up Serge and always score, like, you know, you might want to get you might want to get Gasol a couple more minutes off the bench, just, you know, with that group. But I mean, it's just the decision making is not good. The shot making is not good. Like, Serge missed a wide open layup. He missed his like mid range jumpers and stuff. Like, it was just, he had one basket. It was a mid range jumper from Kyle. But otherwise, it was bad. I mean, he had four fouls in 13 minutes, minus 12. Not good. Fred, not good at all. Like, just not good at all. And it's, you know, I would say this is not a good series for him in a sense that the matchups aren't great. Like, there's nowhere to really put him. The Sixers are way bigger than him. He's even at a disadvantage against guys like, you know, James Ennis. And to Fred's credit, you know, he has done a really, really good job sort of fighting through these post-ups and sort of, you know, creating disruptions, kind of in the Kyle Lowry style of way, not the same extent, but, you know, same kind of style. But, like, Fred is just, he's overmatched in the series. Like, who can he get a shot against? Like, who? Like, first of all, he had 0 points today, 0 of 2 shooting. Like, but seriously, who is he getting a shot against? Right? Like, I mean, you know, it's tough. It's tough. He runs these pick and rolls with Serge. It goes nowhere. Like, it goes nowhere. They got bad timing. The passing is not good. Van Vliet likes to look for his own shot there. Usually it's in there because he has to dribble against some big guy and he can't really create. Like, what are you going to do? And also, Fred, playing 18 minutes, 0 points and 0 assists. Like, he just has to do better. And Van Vliet knows this, right? Like, you know, I was at practice over the weekend. Yes, after game one, Van Vliet, you know, he talked about it. Like, he was like, yo, listen, like, as the bench, we have pride. We're looking at the film. We know what's, you know, we're not holding up our end of the bargain. And we need to do better. But, like, this might be rock bottom. Like, I'm not saying play Jeremy Lin at all, by the way. I know there's a portion of Lin Hive right there, and people are curious. I'm here to tell you that Jeremy Lin, even in warm-ups and one-on-one drills, it's just he's lost his confidence right now. And I don't think I think he can get it back eventually, but throwing him into the playoffs right now is not the solution. Now, so you just have to get Van Vliet to play better. But, I mean, like, Van Vliet, you got to play better. 0 points, 0 assists in 18 minutes as the backup point guard. Like, that's a tough look. And then Norm Powell. Like, has Norm tried to assert himself at all? You know what I mean? Like, I don't necessarily want Norm to take over the offense, but sometimes when Ibaka and Van Vliet are not doing anything, can I see Powell try to take some command of the team? Or not even of the team, but just of the offense? Because there is things that Norm can do. I thought he finished the year really strong. He had a lot of great moments. You know, where is that? Maybe like it's because he's no longer playing with Gasol. Gasol and Powell had a good thing going. They never play together anymore ever. And no one has chemistry with Ibaka except for Kyle, who only ever feeds him on the little, you know, pick and pop. But, like, just what's Norm doing out there? He's completely invisible. Like, he had 1-3, but, like, you know, 1 rebound, 1 assist, like, minus 17. Like, he barely impacted the game. And, again, these are guys who are talented. Like, we've seen – and the most frustrating thing, actually, is that, you know, all three of these guys have played with the starters before. You know, Norm not so much this year, but in previous years, obviously, he's been with the starters. He started a whole bunch of games. But this season specifically, Serge started a ton of games. Van Vliet started a ton of games, right? And these two guys have built up some experience to be able to play with the starting unit so that they could at least buy them some minutes. And I just, for the life of me, I don't understand why they can't do it right now in the playoffs. So they have been so bad. It's a huge sink for the team. And, like, it just discourages you, right? It discourages you as the starters, where you come in, okay, you'd have a great first, you know, shift of the game, but, you know, second shift towards the end of the second quarter, starters I thought played fine. You know, they cut the gap a little bit. And then, you know, start of the third quarter, they fight like hell and they bring it to a 1-point game and they just tell the bench, can you just hold it? Can you just hold it for 2 freaking minutes? And they can do it. And then the starters, you know, are left to basically make a huge comeback yet again in the fourth quarter. And it must drain you. And again, over the course of a long playoff run, you can't really expect the Raptors starters to always do this. Like, I thought Kyle really overexerted himself today. Kawhi exerted a lot of energy. Pascal is always exhausting himself. Mark even played 35 minutes, which is pretty much the upper limit for him. Danny, 32, same deal. You know, like, it's just, it gives the Raptors no breathing room. Nothing. When the bench only gives you 5 total points. Like, the Raptors, like, I'm watching this game, and I'm like, thinking, wow, I wish the Raptors had James Ennis. James Ennis is not good. James Ennis is not good, but I'm wishing the Raptors had James Ennis, because James Ennis by himself has outscored the Raptors bench so far in the series. James Ennis has got like, what, 24 points? I don't think the Raptors bench is at 24 points. So, you know, it's a tough look. And the Raptors, these guys just got to look in the mirror. Like, they're better than this. They got to come out more prepared. They got to come out more organized. They got to stay later in practice. The three of these guys, Norm, Van Vliet, and Ibaka, just the three of them just stay together all the time, work together, figure it out. Just figure it out. Sit together on the planes, do whatever you need to do, but figure this shit out, man. The bench is too talented and too – it's just – they can't do this. The Raptors aren't going anywhere with the bench are going to score 5 points. So we talked about all season Raptors bench was trash. And we're like, okay, yeah, we'll just limit their minutes. We can't even buy 10 minutes on the floor with the bench without them bleeding 10 points, you know? So they got to do better. But in terms of your three stars, first star, obviously Kawhi Leonard, 35 points, 13 to 24 shooting, 3 of 10 from deep, 6-7 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, steal, a block, plus 4 in 42 minutes. Man, played his heart out. Was great, inspirational performance, you know, kept trusting his teammates. I have the utmost confidence that Kawhi is going to continuously dominate, and to be honest, if the rest of the Raptors just joined him, it'd be great. Second star going to Kyle Lowry, 20 points, 7 of 17 shooting, 2 of 6 from the three-point line. Now, he did fail to hit some wide-open threes early in the game, and it was discouraging, but, you know, he hit those two towards the end. He didn't lose his confidence. Got to the free throw line 4 times, I think 2 and ones, and also a shooting foul. It's very rare if Kyle can draw 3 shooting fouls nowadays, so I thought the way he created offense, you know, especially in a bind, I thought he did pretty well. Also had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, you know, one verticality play where he stopped the 2-on-1 fast break, but I think James Ennis got the call. I mean, I don't know, man. Sixers did shoot 26 free throws, the Raptors 15, but I don't want to go into that today. I don't think this is one of those games. I think, I think the Sixers just did a really good job of shutting out the paint. The Raptors couldn't hit threes. That's kind of what it was. And then third star, I don't even know, man. Like, there were only 2 players that played well tonight, Kyle and Kawhi. Everyone else was varying degrees of bad. You know, Pascal had the best raw numbers, but he also had 5 fouls and, you know, shot 9 to 25 from the field. Like, not great. Mark, if I really stretched that, I could give it to Mark because he had 5.7 rebounds, 5 assists. But also, he shot 1 of 6 from the field. And, like, he's got to impose himself on the op. I guess I'll give it to Mark. But I really do think Mark has to play a lot better than this. Like, I don't think he needs to dominate through the post or anything, but more jumpers, for sure. Like, just be more aggressive with your threes. And yeah, I mean, you got to chip in with more than 5 points. But all the other stuff was good for Mark, so I'll give him that. I mean, Embiid only shot, 2 of 7 from the field, 8 free throws. Most of those were against Serge. You know, Mark did a great job on Embiid. And Embiid, look, at the end, he did have an incredible move where Embiid was at the three-point line, pump faked. Gasol stayed with him, cut off his drive. Embiid tried to spin towards the middle. There was help there with Pascal and Mark, and both of them jumped. And somehow Embiid sort of kept his pivot foot, kept his balance, and spun the other way and got the layup to go. And that was a huge bucket. And that's credit to him, man. The guy is like a generational talent. Embiid is incredible. But at the end of the day, he had 12 points. And Mark's defense against him has been real key. But yeah, 3 stars. I mean, I don't know. That third star wasn't that convincing. But in terms of the Gerald Henderson Award, that's got to go to James Ennis. This man has killed the Raptors. 11 points in game 1, 13 points in game 2, and again, single-handedly outproducing the Raptors' entire bench. James Ennis the third, man. God, it's just annoying. And he's also playing great defense out there, by the way. Like, when the Rockets were talking about how James Ennis was going to be the next, like, Trevor Ariza, and he's going to be Ariza at a fraction of the cost. Honestly, Ennis looked like Ariza out there tonight. So, you know, great defense, great hustle by Ennis, and I kind of wish the Raptors had a guy like Ennis right now. I'm not going to lie, which is a hilarious thing to ask for because Ennis is not even that good. And then the Patrick Patterson Award for the player that most underperformed the regular season award. I'm sorry, Danny. I've been trying not to give it to you, but Danny, tonight, man, I mean, the one thing you can look at is plus-minus-wise, Danny was solid, you know, led the team in plus 14. Not much of that was because of Danny, though. Like, Danny had a lot of wide-open opportunities, and Danny has been automatic all year. And when I watch him in warm-ups and everything, he's automatic. He just missed some shots tonight, but those were very, very crucial shots that he missed tonight. A lot of momentum swinging, soul-sucking misses where, you know, the Raptors, you have when you see Danny Green open for three, you are excited. I know I'm definitely excited, and I have confidence in it. And I know he will make some more shots going forward. But Danny tonight, it was painful. 1 of 8 from the field, 1 of 6 from the 3-point line. You know.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Just, he's got to do better. He's got to do better. And I know he will. So that does it for the podcast. Raptors are now 1-1. About to head out on the road. I'm going to be in Philadelphia for games 3 and 4. So look out for our coverage there. The podcast will be there. There'll be columns. There'll be reports from practice. You know, got a couple of video ideas we're cooking up. So definitely check those out on Yahoo Sports Canada. But in the meantime, thanks everyone for listening. And I'll check back in with you after game 3. Peace.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.